Hello there, lovely listeners, and welcome back to Amy Talks. In this episode, I speak to Judy Caraccio, an expert in decluttering. We discuss the many types of decluttering. It's not just tidying up like Marie Kondo, the impact clutter has on our lives, and more. It's time for the good news story. If people don't know what the good news story is, basically I pick out a story from the last couple of weeks or the last week or whenever I see it, and just kind of have a little bit of good news in your day, particularly as the news is so full of dread and war and everybody fighting each other. So this week's good news story, firstly, it comes from the Happy Newspaper on Instagram. I think it's an actual newspaper as well, and they deliver it like once a month, I think? I don't know. And a teenager has built a smart spoon to help his uncle with Parkinson's. So one of the main features with Parkinson's is a tremor. So basically where your hand shakes uncontrollably and you can't control it at all. Basically it helps his uncle to be able to use the spoon kind of well. Arav Anil, a 17-year-old from India, has developed a battery-operated smart spoon to help individuals with Parkinson's disease eat food more easily. Arav has said, one of the symptoms of Parkinson's disease is hand tremors that makes it difficult to do basic tasks like buttoning your shirt or feeding yourself. He's made this spoon using a 3D printer and sensor motors. It apparently compensates for his hand tremors and helps maintain stability. Because if you're eating and you've got a tremor, a lot of the food will fall off the spoon before you've even had a chance to put it in your mouth. And this teenager has teamed up with one of the colleges of physiotherapy in India to help validate his design and then make it a bit more user-friendly. And then they can begin to mass produce it, which I think would be brilliant for people who are suffering with Parkinson's, because they can finally eat, you know, by themselves and not have to rely on carers and other people to have to feed them kind of for them. So yeah, I think it's an amazing invention, I think, and people are very, very clever and are able to come up with this stuff. So I wish him all the best, and I hope that his invention helps people. So I'm here with Judy. Hello.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. So could you start by explaining a little bit about what you do and what sort of value you bring to the people you work with?
Well, hopefully I bring a lot of value. So what I do is I support people in decluttering their lives and getting organized. And part of that process also is becoming more mindful and aware, right? If we dig a little deeper and find out about the clutter, then we don't have it going forward. And I want people to see the bigger picture of clutter. So many times we just focus on physical clutter, but it's so much more than that. My definition is clutter is anything that prevents you from creating the life and space you choose, deserve, and desire, right? So that could be relationship clutter. We have the holidays coming up. We could have holiday clutter, looking more broadly.
That's interesting. So you say that clutter could be kind of anything, but a lot of people focus on the physical. So what other kinds of clutter do you mean?
So for instance, mental clutter, right? Do you have insomnia? Are you stressed out? Are you always living in the past or jumping to the future? Emotional clutter, you know, where do you have those knee-jerk reactions? Are you always jealous of someone? You can have relationship clutter. I mean, is your inner circle really supportive, or they say, hey, you can't do that? Health. How healthy are you? Are you getting your steps in? Are you seeing the doctor, right? Financial clutter. Are you in debt? Are you taking your, you know, saving for retirement and taking your care of yourself financially?
With things like financial clutter and emotional clutter, you know, how would you go about sorting that out in the same way that people do with physical?
So it's about asking questions, right? When I first start to begin with someone, I have a little assessment. And then as we start to work together, things just automatically come up. You know, I'll share one example. I had a client, she had this big stack. It was a couple feet tall of like paper clippings, newspaper clippings, and all that. And I was like, well, what's going on with this? She's like, well, I've had it for a couple years. Those are things that are on my to-do list to send to people. So we talked a little more, and we all have the wisdom within. I view my job as helping you bring that to the surface. And she said, I'm afraid if I don't send these things or send recipes to people, I'll lose that connection and they won't love me anymore. And as soon as she voiced that, we put the whole thing in the recycling bin, right? She made that deeper connection. So that's what I'm talking about. How does it relate to your life? And then how can you let it go?
Yeah, so some of it's kind of related to anxiety and kind of mental health as well.
Oh, absolutely. For some people, 100%.
Do you work with people like hoarders? Because if so, I'm absolutely
No, but I can recommend someone to you and I'm happy to do
fascinated.
that. You need special, that's very important. I'm glad you brought that up. Even though I don't work with hoarders, you need someone who has special training with that because there's a mental health component that's going on, and so they need to be specially trained. I have worked with people and worked with their therapist as well. Like I would work with the person, check in the therapist, make sure I had her advice and brought that one to cluttering.
That's interesting. So, what did the therapist say about this person who was hoarding things, if you can share?
Wasn't a hoarder. We just there were a lot of other challenges going on and being made aware of that. Like, so for instance, in this case, I had to not bring up she was being financially supported by someone, a family member. And so it was very important, even though the financial support was coming from somewhere else, you know, these are your decisions. They're only the financial. I don't talk to them. You make the decision. So things of that nature. That was probably the biggest component, and knowing what made them anxious and working with them a little more slowly than I would perhaps with someone else.
Yeah, it's a bit of a minefield, isn't it? You know, with the whole mental health aspect and kind of people are very sentimental about things. I know I am. I hold on to things that I really don't need.
I have a suggestion for that about sentimental items I'd like to share. So where we get stuck a lot of times is we have an object and we think, oh, if I let go of that object, then I'm going to lose that memory. And that's not true. The
Really?
memory's in our heart and they're memories in our head. So we don't lose that. Now, if you're challenged, I have a couple thoughts for that. Say you have a lot of photographs, consider getting a digital photograph, right? And it's really nice we have one. And so you can add pictures and then it goes through a slideshow. Or create a shadow box. If you have a bunch of mementos, pick out what really speaks to your heart and create something like that. If you have stuff just sitting in the garage, sitting in the attic, boxed up that you haven't looked at for years, how important are those to you? That's when I'm going to really challenge you to be discerning and pick out the memories that mean the most to you.
That's really hard because there's so many.
Yeah, but that's about like what really speaks to me, right? Instead of if you have 100 ticket stubs, then what were the most important or most memorable and pick those.
I read on your website that you also support people kind of end of life cluttering.
Yes.
What does that entail exactly for people who don't know?
So that would be it can be different areas and it might be gathering all your documents that you have to take to a lawyer, right? You want all that. It's making sure, have you created your ceremony? How much planning have you done? You know, when my mom died a couple years ago, I got interested in this work because my dad was like, let's have these conversations. We all assumed that my mom was 100% on board. Nope. She didn't want to talk about it. So when she died, we had to make all these decisions. Oh, well, like my dad's like, well, we did have a conversation about cremation. Let's do that. And when you're grieving, those decisions are really tough. The more planning you do, the easier it is for your loved ones. Like, what do you want to happen to your digital media? Do you have social media? What do you want to happen to your Facebook page? Are you like me and have a small business? What's going to happen to the royalties from books? What's going to happen to your website? You know, a lot of these things that people don't think about. So it's doing as much planning as possible, or it might include gathering all the paperwork and organizing that because it's cheaper to hire me than a lawyer. And if you go in with a bunch of everything organized, it's going to save you money.
So is it kind of before things get serious, dare I say? So, like, do you help people who have terminal cancer and that sort of thing, or is it sort of before that stage?
Before is best, but absolutely depending on if something's happened like cancer, where they're like, okay, now it's really serious. I'm on a timeline here, and so I need to get this done because so many of us don't do it,
No.
right? Because I'm never gonna die, right? Or I'm gonna be 80 or 90 when I die, and that I mean, look, Matthew Perry just died. I'm seeing
Yeah.
that consistently in the news, and he was my age, 54, right? So I read that he gets, I was like, wow, $20 million a year in Friends royalty.
Wow.
I don't know if that's true, but I read they're going to start a foundation to help people who are addicts, which I think is wonderful. But if he didn't have that laid out and he had a crappy family, I mean, trust me, I've seen a lot, but you want to make those decisions. And the other thing is, if you don't have a will, then depending on where you are, I know you're overseas here in America, it's state by state, but then the government might get involved. Okay, I pay enough taxes. I don't want the government making decisions on any money I have or paying even more taxes because a will wasn't left. It's called being interstate here in America. But those are just a few examples.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a will because I feel like I'm too young to have one, if that
Nope.
makes sense. But
Nope.
I
A
guess
lot
you
of
never
people think
are.
like you. You never are too young. And the thing is, do you have pets? Like,
No.
I'm a cat mom, and I can't tell you how many the family was going to throw out the cat or dog, just throw them out outside or leave them at the shelter. I don't want someone making those decisions. I want to make sure that there is money there to cover everything from them. And it's not just about the material items. What kind of legacy do you want to leave? Maybe you're not a mom, but you have nieces and nephews. What do you think it's important for them to know? Or there's a cause you're passionate about. Right?
Yeah.
It's not all about the monetary and the physical stuff.
Yeah. I might have to get on my will writing then. I just wanted to ask, just because I'm simply curious, what's the most sort of extreme case of like clutter you've ever dealt with?
So I do a lot of speaking, and I had spoken at Whole Foods, and I do a consultation because one, I want to make sure that I have the skill set for the person who might be hiring, that we're good personality match. And so this has only happened to me once. Someone lied to me.
Oh my
And then
God.
I walked into the house, and the first thing they said was, "I'm not a hoarder," because according to I don't remember what the website was, a hoarder is when you have 16 inches of stuff coming out from the walls, and I'm only at 15 or 15 and a half.
Blimey.
So it was definitely, so what I ended up doing, they had hired me, and so I worked one session with them, and what was great about that, and I really felt for this person because her son and daughter-in-law were like, "We're not going to bring your grandchild over anymore because your house is a hazard." So we were there
Oh
was a
gosh.
gravy boat for Thanksgiving that she wanted to find. So in that one session, we were able to find it. I was able to give her a resource. I'm like, "They will take your stuff away for free." And all that. That was all I could do. And then I'd say, okay, now you need someone who specializes in hoarding. They just weren't able to say, like, I'm a hoarder, right? Said it's only 15 inches instead of 16 inches of clutter. So that was the most extreme. Most people aren't as bad as they think. The challenge is people have these big houses and they haven't let go of anything for 20 or 30 years, right? So we'll put it in the basement, we'll put it in the attic, we'll put it in the garage, and we won't think about it. And then you end up with a lot of stuff.
On your website, you have a lot of like workbooks and things. What do they contain, or how can they help people?
So I have 15 books. One is Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out. I really kind of hold your hand, and it has 21 standalone chapters, and we look at physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and I got a bonus on energetic, and I also have a companion workbook. So that's really drilling down, giving you step-by-step instructions. If you want to jump start, I have a 21-day declutter your life challenge, which we have awareness and an action, awareness and an action, and I help you create a plan around that. And then I have a series of journal prompts. I mentioned earlier, we all have the wisdom within. And
Yeah.
so this is 365. You are going to answer these questions. You're going to pick out what's most important, and I guide you how to create a plan. We talked earlier about the different types of clutter: physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, relationship, health, financial, holiday. It's all there, and I'm going to be creating some more. But that's if you really want to tackle a specific subject of clutter.
Yeah. I mean, all of this talk about clutter kind of the different types kind of seems a little bit overwhelming. So how would you break it down and make it quite simple for people?
Well, I would say, is there something in your life where you're really frustrated? Say you want to have a romantic relationship, then I would look at, well, what's your relationship clutter? And see, when we work on the inner clutter, we help with the outer clutter and vice versa. So an overstuffed closet to me can prevent a relationship from blossoming, right? Where's the room for someone else to put some clothes in there? I once went on a date. We'd gone on a couple dates, really nice guy, and I saw his closet and I was like, there is no way this relationship can move forward because it was so hyper organized. I'm like, oh, I could never meet these standards. I'm organized, but this was color. I'm
Yeah.
like,
Oh my
it
God.
wasn't going to be a, yeah, it wasn't it, kind of OCD. I'm like, it's not going to be a match for me. So, as an example, so where is it or what you want to create? Or is it you're frustrated in some area, right? And then that's where you want to start. If you're like, I'm not paying my mortgage on time or my rent on time, then you probably have a lot of physical clutter, and that's where you'd want to start.
Yeah, so they kind of interlink with each other.
Correct. But wherever you are, and then I have a compilation that's going to give you a little bit of all of them. So you can start there as well. If you're like, I just want to put my foot in the water and maybe see where should I start.
Okay. Sounds good. I also noticed that you offer podcast coaching. How do you coach people, and can you help me?
I definitely could help you. So I did a podcast. I just ended in August for a decade. At one point, I was number
Lovely.
four on iTunes in the leisure
Cool.
category, and I'm not famous. I'm like you. I'm just someone who is
Okay.
passionate and wanted to start a podcast. So I absolutely can. I'm really passionate about people do podcasting. I think for many reasons, it's a great medium, depending on what your goals are, and how can we make it better.
Lovely. So what kind of services do you offer in that area for people
So
who are interested?
I do virtual work. I've worked with people in your neck of the woods and on decluttering and getting organized. And the whole point for that to me is to increase people's understanding of themselves. How can they be more aware? Clutter keeps people stuck. And so I want to support people in getting unstuck. And I do that through coaching. Then also, obviously, the physical stuff. I mean, people are like, you can do that virtually? Absolutely. Let's sit in your closet and let's see what you have. And I'm going to ask you questions and do that. And then I also am passionate about speaking publicly. I speak to corporations, to employees, and that's something I absolutely love.
So what do you speak about to these employees about? Because decluttering is a very personal thing, but how do you speak to a group about that?
Absolutely. Great question. So I talk with the person who hires me beforehand and I say, is there anything that the employees are interested in? Or here are my suggestions. One thing that's made me really happy is, you think, ah, corporation stuffy and they want to talk about organizing and being more productive. And there's been a move to talking about, like, let's talk about mental clutter. What does that look like? Because whatever's going on at home is going to affect your professional life. So people are
Absolutely.
more interested in that. And I always talk about physical topics. I don't think I've ever not talked about that because that's important. And that's something that people are interested in. But then relating that to like, oh, my messy desk. Wow. That's probably creating mental clutter for me. And that's adding to my anxiety. So how can I work on that?
So what's kind of the biggest success story that you've had with the whole decluttering thing, whether it be physical or the kind of mental side of things?
Oh gosh, that would be really difficult to name just one. I'll just talk about a few. I had a couple that were on the second marriage, but they were newlyweds and they had so much stuff on their dining room table, they couldn't sit down and enjoy each other. So when we got that really improved their marriage because they'd sit at the end of the day over a meal and talk with one another. I had a client who homeschooled with a super busy mom. And every time her mother-in-law came in that door, all she did was complain and criticize her because the house was such a mess. And that improved that relationship. I talked earlier about the woman having that breakthrough of like, my people love me for who I am. I don't have to send them a recipe for them to do that. It's all about, for me, self-discovery and getting unstuck and moving forward so people can achieve their dreams and goals.
Nice. Is there anyone who kind of it hasn't quite worked out, or like they didn't like your method?
That's a really good question. I've never been asked that. I have worked with people just one time, and they've been able to jumpstart that. Really, I'd say for the most part, maybe once or twice, people just wasn't a good personality fit. And that's not right or wrong. And I try to, like the example I mentioned with the woman who was a hoarder, like she wasn't, honest when we had that 15-minute conversation, because I would have said, you need someone who specializes in that. So that's probably the one that didn't work out the most.
And so what you kind of helped her as far as you could and then sort of left it at
Gave
that.
her resources. I said, these people can, they will in this area, will pick up your stuff for free if you have stuff of value. We found the gravy boat that was important. And then I was like, here are people that work with hoarders. You need to, I didn't say hoarders because obviously she had a roadblock to that, saying, I'm not a hoarder because it's 15 inches instead of 16 inches, and gave her the best resources that I could.
Yeah, it's, I think it's good that people like that kind of work together and give people different resources because you could just gatekeep it all to yourself.
Yes, I think that's really important. And there are a lot of people out there like that, and I never want to be that way. Because
Yeah,
I believe everything is energy, and what you put out in life, you get back. So if you give others business, it returns to you in some way, shape, or form.
yeah. How many kind of businesses have you spoken to, like any high profile ones or any kind
Yeah,
of
they're
ones of
listed on
note?
my McCormick Spices. Now you're in
No, I don't know
England,
that.
so that's not for you. People who are in America would recognize that. I did Sherwin-Williams. Again, you probably wouldn't recognize that because that's paint, a pharmaceutical company. I don't think anything that you would recognize.
Fair
But
enough.
they've been some big things, and I love. I did the San Diego Humane Society. I love speaking with nonprofits as well. I'm passionate about animals, so and then I think it really adds value to the employees.
Yeah. Amazing. So my final question really is, what is one piece of advice that you would give to people who are looking to declutter their lives in any respect?
I would say one. Over people being overwhelmed is a huge part of it. So I would say chunk it down into manageable steps. If you do 10 minutes a day, that's over 60 hours in a year, and you can
Wow.
accomplish a lot in 60 hours. And the other thing I'd like to end with is to remind people you are good enough, you are worthy, and you are loved no matter what, because we're either coming from love or from fear. And if you remember that, if you know you're good enough, then you don't have to keep up with the Joneses, no pun intended. Right, then you don't have to buy all that stuff. But if you and you believe in yourself and you know yourself, that can help clear a lot of clutter.
Yeah. So just kind of more self-belief, really, and
Yes,
help carry
absolutely.
you through.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, that was a lovely sentiment to end on. Thank you very much for taking part in the interview with me today.
Thank you. And I just would like to let people know if they go to reawakenyourbrilliance.com, I offer they sign up for the newsletter. 10 free tips, bam, jumpstart and get you started. 10 different ways to declutter your life.
Amazing. I will put that in the show notes for everyone, so they can be sure to go to your website.
Thank you. And thank you for having me today.
You're very welcome. I would like to say a huge thank you to Julie for taking part in the interview with me today. I really appreciate it. If you would like to find out more about Julie and her services, please visit her website at reawakenyourbrilliance.com. Also, you can follow her on socials too, on Instagram at reawakenyourbrilliance. Don't worry, I'll put it all in the show notes for you. If you want to keep up with the show, why not subscribe on your chosen podcast platform? Just search Amy Talks. I would love it if you gave the show 5 stars too. Alexa will also play the latest episode for you. Just ask, play Amy Talks. You can keep up with the show on X, or as Twitter as it was known, at Amy Talks Podcast, and Instagram at amytalks.podcast. See you next time. Bye.